Good morning, good morning. My name is Pastor Mitch. I'm the campus pastor here at Kanata Life Center, and I am all sorts of excited today. What a week it has been. What a week it has been from an incredible discipleship night and rooted night here at the campus. The last 3 weeks I've been able to go and teach LSB at our Orleans campus, and it's just been an amazing, amazing time. But I do want to celebrate Thursday. We had our first ever post-strong men's group, and there were over 25 gentlemen in the room here on campus. And so what that means is, if you were worried that you might be alone, you're not. All right, so there is still room. We're going to be running this for a couple more weeks. If you gentlemen would like to come out, whether you're out strong or not, if you would like to come out 7 p.m. right here at the campus, we would love to meet you, to engage with you, and to watch what God is going to do in this place. Church, I am pumped. This morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 7 to 12. We are going to take one last step into Deuteronomy and a little step into Joshua today as we continue on our journey in Heartstrong. Now, we are drawing to the close of season 4 of Heartstrong, which is amazing. Our Christmas season is just around the bend. But if you're new and joining us today, we are on a 3-year journey through the Bible. Today, we will finish with the book of Deuteronomy and step this week into the book of Joshua. And so if you have not started Heartstrong yet, or if you're curious, please head over to our website, lifecenter.org. There is a whole reading plan on there. There's incredible resources for you there. Mondays through Thursdays, we have teachers that walk through the selected readings at 6 a.m. on Zoom. And so I know you're not doing anything else at 6 a.m., so why not join us on Zoom? It's a great time and a great opportunity. Some of you are like, wow, 6 a.m. It's also there for your listening pleasure all the way through the rest of the day. But I do encourage you, if you have, maybe you've lapsed in your reading of Heartstrong, jump back in. God is moving in our midst. Church, can we open in prayer today? Let's pray. God, as we enter into your word, Lord, I pray that you would speak so profoundly in this room today. God, I thank you for your presence that is so clearly and abundantly here. God, I pray that you would speak peace this morning over each and every person in this room. God, I'm just reminded of that story today, God, in Mark, as the wind and the waves were pounding the boats and the disciples weren't sure what was going to happen, and you stood up and said, "Peace, be still." So God, I speak that over every circumstance. I speak that over every fear, over every anxiety, over every worry this morning, God, that we would be reminded today that we are empowered by your Spirit. So God, with the same authority that you spoke to those things, God, let us speak this morning. Peace, be still. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Are you not encouraged today? Oh, God is in the room. Come on. He is so, so good. Last week, we walked through stewarding spiritual authority and really began to describe why was Moses able to step into those positions of authority. We rewound a little bit in the story of Moses to see how he finished so well. How did Moses finish so well? Well, this morning, we're going to really begin to discuss Joshua in the same light. Moses is, in these scriptures, about to hand over the leadership role to Joshua. Joshua is about to step in and lead over 1 million people into the promised land. Just to rewind for a little bit here, in the book of Numbers, at the very beginning, we read that there was over 600,000 fighting men who were in the desert as they were traversing the land. And so there is over 1 million people about to step into the promised land under the leadership of someone who has never led before. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 7 to 12 reads as such. Moses was 120 years old. When he died, his eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated. Hallelujah. And the Lord and the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all of his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. Here is a leader that has ended well, but as his journey comes to a close, so the next chapter begins in Joshua. And Joshua is not Moses. He will lead God's people as Moses did, but Joshua's interaction with God is actually going to be different. Moses had a face-to-face relationship with God. Joshua will not experience the same anointing that Moses had, but he will experience his own leadership and spiritual authority as bestowed by the Lord. Identifying this new season is of a crucial step for Joshua, where now the chapter is closing, a new one is beginning. Moses must recognize that specific promise of God that was spoken to Moses, that was spoken over the people of Israel. Now it is bestowed upon him. He must step in obedience into the great unknown, stepping into a piece of Israel's history that they have known about for a long time, but have never experienced in full. As we read about last week, Moses would continue to remind and Joshua will have to step into the realization of not forgetting what it was that took place in the desert, not forgetting the lessons that have been learned. For God has something great in store. Church, can I encourage you this morning that God has something great in store? The lessons that have been learned, the words that have been spoken, I don't know if you can feel it. I don't know if you can sense it, but God is on the move. I'm going to speak that again this morning. God is on the move. See, I feel like there's a lot of us that are here this morning that hear that and our immediate response is yes, but Pastor Mitch, you don't see what I see. Pastor Mitch, what about what all this other things? Listen, I believe that the enemy is working overtime to try to veil, to try to cover, to try to bring darkness, because he is petrified of what will happen if we actually step in authority, realizing that God is on the move. Church, what if we decided today that we were no longer going to take one more step in fear? But instead, to step forward and say, God, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I know that I know that I know that you are seated on the throne of peace and mercy and grace. God, I know that all authority is bestowed upon you. And so that same authority that Jesus walked in, God, I choose today to walk in it as well. Beloved, what if we woke up or left this place today even? Let's not even wait for tomorrow. What if we left this place today and instead of fear and trepidation and anxiety about what it was that we can't control, what if we simply stood up in the boat like Jesus did in Mark chapter 4 and looked out at the winds and the waves and said, "Peace, be still. For God is with me." See, this is the type of confidence, this is the type of authority that Joshua is going to need to step into in these next few chapters. In the book that is actually entitled Joshua, he is going to need to step into the authority that only God can provide. He has never led a million people. He has never done the things that God is entrusting him to do. But one thing that Joshua has learned under the tutelage, under the leadership of Moses, is that God is greater and he can do more than you could ever possibly hope or dream. And Joshua has held on to these steps. He's held on to these identifiers. As Joshua is following Moses, the first thing is Joshua has to learn how to step towards the presence of God. Hallelujah. Joshua had to learn how to step towards the presence of God. Church, if we're being honest this morning, In our relationship with God, there is no plateau. Amen? We're either growing closer to God or we're taking a step away. The idea that we should look for a place of comfort and a place of relaxation in our relationship with God is so dangerous. The idea that we should do anything other than take a holy rest in God can produce a very lazy faith. See, our culture will continue to drive us towards, you know, what can we get? What can we have? What can we own that will make our days easier? But God's calling on your life is, what can you get? What can you have? Where can you step into the authority of God that will make your life more powerful in Jesus' name? To be able to step into different situations and not say, God, I just want an easy day today, but instead to say, God, what are you up to today? I can't wait to see what's about to take place. Church, where you are sitting today is holy ground. When you step into your car on the way home today, it's holy ground. When you step into your homes in the full fear of the Lord inside of your heart, that place is holy ground. Your neighborhood, because you're there, is holy ground. God is in control. And Joshua had to learn how to step towards the presence of God. Listen in Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 to 11, how not only is Joshua watching Moses, but he is so hungry, he is so thirsty for the presence of the Lord. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speak to his friend. Listen to this. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. As everyone was worshiping at their own tents, we get this depiction of Joshua, who was an assistant to Moses, that he wasn't located at his own tent when Moses went into the tent of meeting. Joshua actually found himself outside of the tent of meeting, and as Moses would walk back into the camp to share with all the people what it was that God had described to him, Joshua remained at the tent of meeting, hungry to learn more from God, hungry to be close to the presence of God. Young people, generations today, beloved, are you hungry to remain close to the Lord? What makes an excellent assistant? What makes an excellent assistant? See, Moses and Joshua were in this interesting relationship where Moses was leading, and at some point Joshua must have understood that he was next in command. It wouldn't have been until Moses actually struck that rock that the full reality of what it was that was coming would have settled on Joshua. But Joshua has decided that he will learn what it means to be in the presence of the Lord. When I was on internship as a young man, about 22 years old, I remember my pastor at the time, Pastor Johnny, coming to me, and we were sitting in a one-on-one, and we were going through my booklet, and we were just describing, you know, time management and how to make sure you give really good emails. And I was like, wow, this is riveting stuff. And as he was describing the proper breakdown of paragraphs and punctuation and all that stuff, which I still get my wife to help me with from time to time, I think he could tell from the drool that was rolling down my face that he was losing me a little bit. And he looked at me and he said, Mitch. And I said, yeah. He said, you need to be ready at all times to preach, pray, or die. And I said, excuse me, sir. How do we go from emails to dying? What's happening here? It was at that point where I was like, all right, wake up. This might go on the final exam. What's happening here? And so he began to describe to me how every day was a gift. Every day was a gift. And that you never fully understood what it was that God was going to lead you into that day. And so every day when you wake up, He said, understand that when you step into this role of spiritual leadership, that you are stepping into a God-given position. There's nothing that you can do to qualify yourself for this. It's either God or it's you, and if it's just you, get out. Need to be ready at any time to preach, pray, or die. And so I said, yes, sir. And I wrote that down and I circled it. And I didn't have a cell phone at that time because, you know, 22, who needs a cell phone? Anyway, it was a different time. And I remember making that note and being like, I'm going to talk to Cassie about this when I get home. Like, this is so good. And we went that afternoon to a senior's home and Johnny can play the keys. And we were singing the old hymns. And it was a ruckus in there. It was so good. And as my internship pastor finished playing, he stood up and he said, all right, thank you guys so much for singing with us. And now Pastor Mitch is going to come and preach. And I said, sir, all we've talked about today is emails. I don't know that they want to hear about the things that I've learned today. In that moment, I had an opportunity to simply stand up and share what it was that was on my heart, which was my testimony of how I had come to that place. And those beautiful people were so encouraging. Church, I want to encourage you today that every single day, every single breath is a gift from the Lord. Joshua understood. Moses had already struck the rock. Joshua understood that his time of leadership was coming. And now as he was watching this leader lead, not knowing how many days or how many hours he had left with Moses, he was so desperate not only to learn from Moses, but to lean fully on the Lord. We talked about this last week, and I just want to echo it again. As you are being called to step into your own places of spiritual authority, as God is going to challenge you to lead in whatever place that he's placed you, church, let's not forget that it is not the pastors that are called to change the city. Amen? It's the church. And so regardless of where you find yourself or how deep in your theology you believe that you are or how deep your relationship with God, God is calling you to lead in the city. His desire is that his light would shine through you. Joshua understands this, and so not only does he want to draw close to Moses, but he sees clearly, because Moses is leading well, that Moses is not the source of the authority, it's God. So Joshua rests at the tent of meeting, catching the same heart that Moses would share in Exodus. God, if you and your presence do not go with us, do not send us from this place. Joshua learns how to step close to the Lord from watching his mentor Moses. But it is also important as we learn to step close to the Lord that we also identify what season it is that God is entrusting us to steward. See, Joshua alongside Caleb is a faithful steward to the assignment that God entrusts him. In Numbers chapter 13, the people send 10 spies into the land of Canaan. And Joshua, along with Caleb, are the only two to bring back a positive report. Numbers 13, 1-3, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a chief among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the people of Israel. According to the command of the Lord, all 10 spies were sent on assignment into the land. And yet 10 out of the 12 spies lose trust in God's ability to do what it was that he said that he would do. Church, our faith has to reside somewhere. As the 10 spies of the 12 come back and bring a false report, they cry out about how great the size of the people are and how vast their cities are and that they are so much more powerful than this meek group that is wandering through the desert. But something rises up in Joshua and Caleb, a reminder of what it was that God has done. As we step into this season of God doubling down on the pouring out of his presence and authority, do not forget of what God has done when he calls you into a new place that you've never been. So many times we can enter into these moments where we look at the challenge in front of us, and if we're honest, sometimes it's all that we can see. How am I going to pay this bill? How is God ever going to reach out to my family? Or how will God ever redirect my kid? But beloved, one of the beautiful things about the church is that here in this room is testimony after testimony after testimony of yes, he can, and yes, he will. See, Joshua sees the exact same things that the other spies see. They take the exact same route. Their eyes bear witness to the exact same thing. And as those 10 spies come back, Joshua and Caleb look to each other, and you can almost see that, like, did you see the same thing that I saw? Because I remember when God parted the Red Sea for us. And if he can do that, surely he can do this. I don't know what kind of bread the other 10 spies have been eating, but every day I go out and pick up that manna. And I don't know about you, but that's not supposed to be happening. And so if God can do that, surely he can do this. See, Joshua isn't only leaning on what it is that he's seeing with his eyes. He is recalling the faith that God has been building in the people. And he will not allow the assignment that God has issued to him to be unfaithful. He stewards it well. Numbers chapter 14, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people, listen, if you want to name your son Jephunneh, I will then learn that name, okay? I promise. All right. The land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. It is what God has promised. Hello? The other spies only saw what it was that they were afraid of. Joshua and Caleb see what it is that God has promised. The land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Wow. The other spies come out, and you'll read in very short order that not only were they responding to their own fears that they were seeing, but as they were called to present their findings to the gathered crowd, as they looked around, they saw others who were afraid as well. Joshua and Caleb stand up in front of the gathered individuals alongside the other 10 spies, and they speak not to what it is that they're seeing in their own brothers and sisters, but instead they speak to what it is that God has promised. That he has before, he is today, and he will again. As Joshua and Caleb give this report, listen to how the congregation responds. Numbers 14, verses 10. Then all the congregation said, stone them. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate the waters of baptism. It's the best day, right? It's like baptism, new salvations, communion. Like, don't even get me started. Like, just the best. So good. One of my favorite things, we already have 5 individuals signed up for baptism. We're going to meet them before the service. One of my favorite things to share with those who are stepping into the waters of baptism is this beautiful truth. Every single time I tell them, as you stand today for the Lord, I don't know like what happens in the water. I can't fully explain what God is about to do. But as you stand today for the Lord, when you come out of that water, I'm telling you, you are going to sense God standing for you as well. Okay, you missed it. All right. So next week, we're going to have people who are going to publicly stand up and say, I choose Jesus. And when they come out of the water, they're going to be overwhelmed with this feeling of God saying, and I choose you. Now and forever. Like, this is the reality in which we live in. And beloved, it's not just on Baptism Sunday. Come on. When you stand for God, God stands for you. The other spies get up and they say, we can't do it. And all the people are like, whoo, thank goodness, because that's a lot of work. Stepping into the land of Canaan. You know, the spies would have been gone for days. It is a huge piece of land, and there are already people living there. In order to take what it is that God is giving to them, it is going to take a lot of work. And the spies come back and they say, forget it. Let's just go back to the desert. Actually, why don't we just go back to slavery? And the people are like, yes, finally, somebody's speaking some sense. Except for Joshua and Caleb, they stand up and they say, what are we doing? Is our God not greater? Church, is our God not greater? We pray for our political leaders, but they do not sit on the throne of grace. We pray for our friends and our neighbors, but do not forget who has the authority in this world. God is greater than what it is that you see with your eyes. God is greater than the lies that the enemy would try to speak into your mind. God is greater than whatever it is that is capturing the heart of your loved ones. He is greater, and his promises endure. This is the Lord that we serve. We don't get into the breakdown of what Joshua and Caleb are actually sensing. All we hear is the faith that they speak. Are they scared? Probably, but God is greater. Are they uncertain? Probably, but God is greater. As Joshua speaks these words, is he ready to lead in that moment? No, but God is greater. It's not that you can't have doubt. It's just that your doubt can't be greater than the Lord. Come on. It's not that you can't have doubt. It's just that we can't allow our doubt to turn into fear and allow that to cripple us from moving the gospel into a world that desperately needs it. Beloved, the world needs us to shine our light, to be reminded that the book that we read today is not just to make us feel good and warm and fuzzy inside. The objective of digging through God's scriptures and heart strong is not so that we can leave every Sunday morning with a smile on our face. The point is that God's entire direction for scripture is to scream redemption to his creation. And as those who have been redeemed, it is now our job to echo that. Should have made that a screen. The entire point of scripture is for God to scream redemption to his creation. And for those of us who have been redeemed, it is now our job to echo it. Because yes, he can. Yes, he can. How many stories in this room? How many stories in this room should be, there's no way but God? How many stories in this room should have been, I'm too deep, it's too dark, it's too hard, I don't know where it's going to go, but God steps in and he says, yes, but don't forget that I am the light of the world. And so be free in the name of my son. Be filled with my Holy Spirit, not so that you can feel warm and fuzzy, but so that you can understand that there is a mission for you, that I am going to breathe my life into you for greater things yet to come. Deuteronomy chapter 31, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. For you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Hallelujah. Church, I just want you to close your eyes this morning. I'm going to read that passage once again, and I want you to hear this, not Moses to Joshua, but God to you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with Life Center into the city of Ottawa and all that surrounds it, this place that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I just give all of you permission this morning. You want to close your eyes and center into God? You can. You want to continue to stare at me? I get it. I had put some gel in it today, and then Cassie came and like sprayed it with hairspray. So I don't really know what's going on up here. I just know that it feels like solid, right? Like solid. Like it's not going anywhere. Church, I want to give you permission today to center in to God, however it is that your relationship would take you today. You want to close your eyes, you can do that. You want to stand up and bow. You want to turn in your seat and find a position of bowing before the Lord. But I want to give you permission today to speak to whatever it is that is crippling your heart with fear or anxiety. And to hear these words. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will not be distant, and he definitely will not go. Do not fear or be dismayed. God, I pray this over each and every person in this room today. God, that we would understand that you are in this place. God, we do not desire or hunger or thirst for a rah-rah message today. God, all we want is for a deeper understanding of your proximity in this story. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. So, Lord, wherever it is that each person is today, whether online or here in person, God, if your Holy Spirit is calling them today to take that one step closer to you, to draw close to the presence of the Lord, then Lord, I pray today that they would take that step boldly. God, may they sit at your feet today. God, no matter what it is that has to get done, God, may we replace that with a deep hunger to rest in you. God, I pray today, Holy Spirit, as I sense you drawing people right now to step closer to you, Lord, that we would take our list and leave it on the fridge today. And in its place say, God, I just want you. I just want you. That list isn't actually going to make the difference tomorrow. It's your presence in me, your word with me, and your voice through me. That will change tomorrow. And so, God, for those that you're calling to take a step closer, may they take that step in boldness today, Lord Jesus. God, for those today who are already drawing close to you, God, who sense that you are calling them, Lord, I pray that you would speak into their season of the assignment that you have called them to steward. God, for some of us today, we are being called to steward the raising up of the next generation. God, for some of us today, we are being called to steward, to be the voice of the Lord right here in the city of Ottawa amongst our parliamentary brothers and sisters. God, this morning, some of us are being called to steward different neighborhoods all around this great city. God, this morning, some of us are being called to steward deep relationship to take place right here in the church. God, whatever it is that you are speaking into us, Lord, may we steward that assignment well. And I pray that faith would rise in this room in Jesus' name. God, I pray that faith would rise in this room in Jesus' name. And I cast out all fear in the name of the Lord. God, I cast out all anxiety in the name of the Lord. God, may we speak boldly that you have before, you are today, and you will again. And for those of us, Lord Jesus, that have taken that step towards you, that are stewarding that assignment well, then God, I pray that we would boldly stand in the truth of the Lord. God, may our words, may our passions, may our delights be rooted on solid ground. Lord, anything that is not of you, God, remove it right now in Jesus' name. God, you have full permission in this place to remove anything that is not of you in the Lord Jesus' name. God, we've already read through the book of Revelation. We've already read through the book of Leviticus. We're now finishing the book of Deuteronomy. Lord, we know that you are holy and you are calling us to be holy as well. May we hunger and thirst for holiness. And so, Lord, I thank you for what it is that you're doing right here in this moment. And we ask you today, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Beloved, before we go today, I'm going to turn your attentions to the screens. I think the Old Testament is such a powerful place to step into what it is that we're about to step into. An opportunity for us to look back at the history of the Israelites, to look back at the leadership of Moses and Joshua, to understand that from what it was that they have learned, from what it is that God has already done, that they're able to continue their journey forward because God continues to make a way. And so this morning on this Remembrance Day, I encourage us to take a moment before we go to remember the lives that were lost, that were placed on the line. For those men and women in our armed forces that continue to do so today. Last week, we prayed for the persecuted church. This morning, we take a moment to remember why it is that we have the freedoms that we have today. For the lives that were poured out. God that was with each and every one. There's going to be a Remembrance Day prayer on the screen. I'm going to read it and pray it over you today. Feel free to read it along on your own or again, center in. But let us take a moment this morning to remember. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus, for those who have given their lives for our freedom. Your word says that there is no greater love than one who would lay his life down for another. Jesus, you are the ultimate example, giving us life eternal and on earth. Jesus, we thank you for those who run into danger, sickness, and crisis in our communities. We need these people, and we thank you for calling them to serve in these ways. You call each of us to serve one another, as you say, the greatest in the kingdom is a servant of all. Lord, we pray for the nation of Canada that you will help us become people who are becoming more like you. Help us speak well of our brothers and sisters. Help us love as 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us. And help us to be ministers of reconciliation wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.